Good day and welcome to the Waystations Ministries podcast. I'm Greg Spencer with a light for your journey and a good word for the road. It's great to be traveling together and I thank you for coming with me. Let's ride together for a while. Hello, friends. It's great to be with you once more. Thank you for tuning in whatever capacity that you can and do. But welcome to the Waystations Ministries podcast. I'm Greg Spencer, your host, and it is a privilege and a joy to be with you every chance we can be. And believe it or not, I believe and trust that when we connect this way, there is a spiritual connection to us, no matter where you are, no matter what time of day it might be, or what time zone you happen to be in. The beauty about spirituality is that we are connected to one another. Now, Waystations Ministries is about bringing the reality of spirituality into people's lives and making it practical. How can we incorporate this stuff so that we live better? It's not so much about religion as it is about God's intention for people to have a happy life and have an abundant life. Christian faith is unique in the world because it's about love. It is a different way, a different value, a different principle of how to live and how to get along. So often people are hard against one another. They're difficult. They argue. They passionately fight for their own interests. And what we find is when you fight for your own interests, you tend to lose. You suffer. You create resentment, bitterness, animosity. People don't get along too well after that. And so that really isn't effective. You might win for a short time. You might overcome a certain obstacle, but you've heard the phrase, I think, be careful how you treat people on the way up because you'll see them again on the way down. I remember, what was it, the movie Stripes, I believe it was, where the drill sergeant was saying to this squad, you got to take care of each other because one day one of them might save your life. And one of the guys made a wise crack and said, or maybe we won't. It might be wise for us to try to get along and not to intimidate or to harm or to separate or to isolate. I think we're seeing in our world today how people are living in the midst of such isolation. We're withdrawing into our homes. We're withdrawing into ourselves. Our emotions are brought to the edge of our living. We don't have much hope. In fact, we give up our hope. We give up on a lot of things. And I'm not sure that that's the best way to go. In fact, I'm pretty sure it isn't. And what I'm trying to do with Waystations is to say, hey, look, no matter what's going on in your life, there is good present too. And if we can find it and if we can emphasize it, maybe it'll help us to be better, to live better, to think better, to hope, and to make our way through. And so that's what Waystations is about. We say it plural because of the idea that there are many different ways in which to offer our ministry, our care, our concern. The podcasts are one. We also have Steamworks Spirit Station, which occurs on Tuesday nights live and on Facebook Live. And the Spirit Station is based on the idea, not at all by religion or tradition, but rather around music. And what we have is a variety of musical artists that appear each week. It's someone different. And each week they will open with a set of great music. Sometimes it's rock, sometimes it's blues, sometimes it's jazz. We haven't had classical yet, but I'm working on it. We'll have country and bluegrass. We'll have some Christian artists, contemporary artists, rap. Each week is someone different. And they start with a set of music, which is their talent and their skill and their passion. And that gets communicated to the live audience, whether they're in the Steamworks Creative Listening Room in Gibsonia, PA, or if you're checking out with Facebook. And of course, it being on Facebook Live, it is recorded and therefore you can access it anytime. But after the first set, then I try to offer a spiritual message that can help us along the way. And certainly would invite you to come and pay attention to that. And that's followed again by another set of music from the same artist. And so we get to feel the wonder and the joy and the connection that music does for us. And then we listen to some inspiration, maybe about the practical situations of our lives individually. And then we get to experience the music again. Recently, we had Miss Freddie Stover, Pittsburgh's Lady of the Blues, and her new gospel band, the what do they call Glory Be. And it was remarkable. It was such a happy evening. People were enjoying it, clapping their hands, getting up and dancing, laughing, smiling. It was great. And who expects that in the middle of the week and in the middle of all the bad news we're hearing on the news and in the middle of a worldwide pandemic? Well, isn't that what we hope for? Isn't that what we want? Well, so that's another way. We do daily devotions on the internet. You can get those on Facebook, or you can get them. You can subscribe by email, and I can send it to you wherever you are. What you would do is you go to waystationsministries.org, and you can access most of what we're doing and all the different ways in which we're doing it. But we're trying to do events or outreach on the internet or music, all these different ways to try to help people to find good for their lives and to find a way to live better. So I hope you'll try them. Check them out. Certainly, I'm grateful that you're checking out the podcast. Now, here's one of the things that I've noticed in my life, and probably yours too, that we are people of habits. We create habits. We like to find our lives somewhat familiar. We like to live in familiar patterns. We do things the same way, probably every day. It's the same when you get up in the morning, you follow a basic routine, don't you? About how you get going in the daytime. There are certain places that we go on a regular basis. There's certain patterns that we have for how we dress, where we shop. We have patterns about what meals we like to eat, what restaurants we love. We have patterns about what music we listen to, places that we go, people with whom we share. We tend to create patterns that are good, and we tend to rely on them. And that's not bad. That's not a bad thing at all. However, if those patterns become harmful, we need to notice them. We need to be made aware of them. We need to take a look at that and say, is this doing the good that I want it to do? Or is it actually interfering? Is it helping me to live well? Or is it causing me to not live as well, to be inhibited, to be broken down? And we don't want to live in the negative way. In recent days, recent months really, people have been caught up in conflict and in debate and disagreement. They have been caught up in anxiety and fear. They have been caught up in grief. People have been surprised. They thought one thing and discovered another. There's been an awful lot of downward feeling and thought and quality of life. And what do we do about that? Well, I think we can change it. I think we can turn around. I think the challenge, for example, in the worldwide pandemic is to realize that if we're going to be living with it for a while, we should take control of our lives in the midst of it. It's not being upset that it's not over yet. It's not blaming somebody, because that's not going to make any difference either. What it really means is I need to learn how to live well in the midst of it. The grandmaster that taught me my martial arts at one time said that the Eastern way of living, particularly when it comes to illness, is learning how to live with it. The Western way tends to want to fight it. We'll try to knock it out. We'll try to take it down. We'll try to eliminate it. We'll try to crush it. We'll try to vanquish it, conquer it. You know the language. It's very militaristic. But the Eastern way says, okay, if I'm sick, how do I live in the midst of it? How do I live with it? Of course, we want to be healed. Of course, we want to get rid of it. But fighting it can sometimes cause more harm, more damage, than learning how to accommodate it and how to put it beside or behind. I think that's not a bad principle to follow. And when you think about when Jesus was speaking, when Paul was writing, we're talking about a combination of cultures. In the Fertile Crescent, or what we call the Holy Land, there was great commerce and great international flow of people because it was the easiest way to get from north to south and from east to west. So there was a tremendous multicultural center, and all these different ways of thinking and sharing came together in Israel and along the Mediterranean. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, was trying to help people to learn how to live and realizing the mistakes that they were making, realizing how we sometimes don't see what we're doing and how it's not helping. We sometimes don't recognize that our patterns or what we consider to be familiar or the way we want it to be is not necessarily the most effective way. And so he's writing to help people understand or to recognize their habits, their patterns, their beliefs, and say, wait a minute, let's take a look at this. Is this helping or isn't it? Is it going to contribute to the quality of my life and my family? Is it going to be good for the community or the nation around us? Or, well, if not, maybe we should make a change. What Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, to the people in this town of Galatia, is don't forget the good that you've been given. Don't forget the quality of your life that you're capable of. Don't think that you're helpless. Don't think that you cannot make positive changes in your life. Don't surrender to the lousy. Now, that's not the way he said it, of course, but what he did write is this: for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, another way of putting that, I think, for a modern context is once you realize the things that you do that are harming you, stop doing that. And then make sure that you don't fall back into that old pattern. Make sure that the things that you try to do help and that you keep doing it and step away from the things that caused harm. Now, this is one of the problems that people have had with dieting for years. They'll get on a diet and they'll lose a certain amount of weight. Maybe it's what their goal is, and that's terrific. But at the conclusion of their diet, sometimes they'll forget. They'll take it easy. They'll go back to their patterns of what they did that got them overweight in the first place. And if you go back to that, you're a victim again to the thing that you didn't like and worked so hard to defeat. For freedom, we've been set free. We're free in our hearts and in our minds. We're free in the choices that we get to make about who we're going to be and how we're going to present ourselves. Taking responsibility for our living. This is what is required if you're going to do exercise. You have to force yourself to do it. It's required if you're going to be a musician. You have to practice the instrument or the voice. You take lessons to improve. You apply yourself as fully as you can because it doesn't work if you don't. And this is true when you have to overcome problems. If you have a challenge in your workplace, you have to work at it and try different approaches until you can find it. It's difficult to find the solution sometimes, and sometimes it's outside of our perception. I remember Joel Barker he called himself a futurist. And one of the things that he talked about was what's called a paradigm paralysis, where we are so stuck in the way that we see things and the way that we do things that it completely blinds us to other possibilities, other ways of thinking, other ways of being, answers to our problems, answers to the challenges that we have to face. Now, we find that when persons work together and the different perspectives that they bring together, that can open us to the resolutions that we're looking for. But if we're trapped in our way of thinking or our desire or our way of being or the way we want things to be, then we will close ourselves off from the possibilities. Now, Mr. Barker would give several illustrations in business and culture about how people were trapped by those examples. One was the train industry. What happened with them is they thought everything revolved around trains, and that was true for an awful long time in our history. But when airplanes were invented, when trucks became popular, then the industry of the train became less and less. Roads were built, airports were built, and all of a sudden, instead of seeing themselves as a transportation company, they saw themselves as a railroad company. And that's what limited them, and they were unable to change. Now, this is the same thing true with probably one of the most famous watch companies in the world, and that is Rolex. Rolex believed in the automatic watch, which was a self-winding watch that you'd wear on your wrist. And whenever your hand moved, it wound the watch. Well, when quartz watches came along, with a battery, it could last much longer, be much more accurate. And it was their own research team that developed it. But the owners of the company and the minds that be, the leaders, said, oh, no, no, it doesn't have a mainspring. It can't be a good watch. And so they didn't build quartz watches. They stayed with what they thought was good and what built them success. And at one point, they controlled 80% of the market. And that all changed with the quartz watch. When the Japanese and American companies that saw that and incorporated quartz watches into the way that they made them, all of a sudden, everything changed. And Rolex, while still expensive, is no longer the dominant in the market. So this is what we want to take a look at. What are the things, the paradigms that we have? What are the ways in which we narrow our vision or narrow our perspective or interfere with our own growth? And let's be careful that we don't succumb to them over and over again, because if they're habits, it's the way we think is normal. If they are habits, it is what we will slide back to because it's so familiar, even if it doesn't work. Now, this is the change that people have to go through. If you have to learn how to use a computer, what you'll find is within a year or two, that's going to change, and you have to change operating systems, and you have to upgrade your thinking and how it works and learn how to renew it. Same thing with telephones. In technology, things are always changing, supposedly improving, and we have to adapt to it. We may not like some of the changes that come, but if we don't learn how to adapt to them, then we'll be victimized. If we go back into the old ways of thinking, it can certainly harm us. Imagine, and this is a Joel Barker example too, imagine what it was like for people to change from the horse and buggy to automobiles. Can you imagine not being with an automobile now? It's interesting now that there's so much talk about the changing of automobiles from gas and diesel fuels to environmentally safe electric cars. And they're working on that technology. And how do you create less of a harm to the environment and still enable the power or the endurance or the distance, speed, all those things? How do you do that? That's what they're working on now. That's changing our culture pretty much too. And I'm a guy who likes a manual transmission, so I'm really grieving and wondering what's going to happen. I don't know if that's true for you. But for freedom, Christ has set us free. We have the ability to change our minds and to think fresh and new. And if we do, we'll find ourselves able to cope with the world. We'll find ourselves able to think of ways to live effectively and well, no matter what the circumstance might be. If we submit again to a yoke of slavery, which is the way we used to be, or the way we want it to be, or the way it was long ago, then we become victimized by ourselves. We do it to ourselves. And that's not where we want to be. We don't want to be trapped in those patterns. We don't want to be trapped in ineffective living. We don't want to be trapped in grief or anxiety or fear. We don't want to be trapped in animosity or conflict. We want to say, hey, let's see how we can grow our lives. How can we develop our lives? How do we improve our relationships? That's not always going to work because there's more than one in the relationship. There are other persons that have to take responsibility for their lives too. And so what we have to learn how to do is we do the best we can, but we respect others and we live in harmony with them. So if they don't want to respond, that's okay. If they don't want to reciprocate, that's okay. We're not going to let that take us back to that yoke of slavery of bitterness and resentment. We don't want to fall back into those old ways. So think freedom. What is the creative way of dealing with this? What is the way in which we can find success? Now, I made reference earlier that I'm a martial artist. And one of the principles about martial arts is not having to fight, trying to end the fight as quickly as possible. And what are the tools we have to use? Now, if you watch the movies, if you like action films, you always see that they get quickly into these fights and they knock it down and drag out and all that kind of stuff. But if you think about it, what is the goal? The goal of the martial artist is to end the fight as quickly as possible with the least possible damage. It takes an awful lot of discipline to do that. But what are the tools we have at hand? Well, of course, we can do blocks, and of course, we can do punches, and we can do kicks, and all that kind of stuff. If we have weapons, we can use those too. But what really matters is if I can end the fight with my voice, if I can say something that brings an end to the tension or reduces the tension, then I've saved both of us from getting hurt. if I can end the fight by walking away or acknowledging. And that one of the humorous things that I learned, again, when I was training as a student, is the example was this. Somebody comes up to you trying to bully you or goad you into a battle, and they say, you're a jerk. Now, you could say, I am not, or you're a jerk, and you can get into a fight, because what you're doing is you're escalating the tension. On the other hand, you can say, you know, you may be right. What happens is the bully and their friends all laugh because you from their point of view, you agreed with them. But that de-escalated all the tension. You were willing to accept and agree. Now, you know in your own heart and mind that the opposite is just as true. They might be wrong. But when I choose conflict, I tend to get hurt. When I choose to end the fight with an acceptance or with an agreement or with a thought or a word, then nobody gets hurt. And so, in effect, I've won the fight before it even happened. Now, this is what we want to think about in terms of our conversations and our disagreements and our conflicts and our challenges. Let's think, what is the most effective way of doing that? What tools do we have to free our minds and to not get trapped in old ways or things that cause harm or take us back to those lousy places that we don't want to be, or those spirits or those mindsets or those problems? We certainly don't want bitterness or resentment or conflict with people. We don't want to have to live in that environment. We don't want to live in fear of the next illness that's coming or the next disagreement. We don't want to get all upset for the next elections that are going to occur. How can we live effectively given these circumstances? This is what good quality living is. It's learning how to live effectively in the midst of, sometimes in spite of, but always through. I want to live through these times, and I want to live through them well. So I encourage you to listen to what Paul says. We have been set free. We're free to think in new and different ways, and we have the ability not only to change our minds, but to direct our lives. What a gift that is. Don't go back to the old ways that cause such harm and disagreement, but live free. Others will see your capability of doing that, and they'll say, maybe I can do that too. And the more that do, the happier we all become. That's not a bad goal. It's certainly a great hope. And one day, I think that'll be more the rule than the exception. We'll see. Let's hang in there and check it out. I hope you have a good week. I hope that you will try it out at least. See if you can find new ways to think and to be and to feel. I hope that I get to hear from you. You can always contact me at greg@waystationsministries.org. And hope that we can be friends, even if we're distant. God be with you. Have a great week. And I'll hope to see you next time as we get together for the Waystations Ministries podcast. Take care. And with us this time, and hope that you'll join us again next time, next week, when we get together for a little more time on the road together. May it be good for you all the way through.